If you like stuff, then check out the Am I Stuff podcast with Mr. Kelsey Hudgens. He's a fella.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, live from the Screwball Whiskey Studios, indeed. How's it going? How you living? You doing well? Good. I'm so glad to hear that. So in this episode, my buddy Scott Mann stopped by the studio to talk about all sorts of things, and we had no method to where we were going to go with this, which is the way I like conversations to be, and this episode was one of my favorite to date, and I'll say that in front of you. It really was. I loved
it. Don't be a dick
talk. So good. It's the don't be a dick talk, indeed. That's going to be it. That's the one. That's what we're going with. But yes, so we talked about all sorts of things, and I'm not going to give any content spoilers, but you are not going to want to miss this episode, not a second of it, because everything that was said, we bounced around so much that, but everything I think we bounced around to is pretty meaningful. So I'm very excited for you to hear this one, and yeah, share it all out on all the social medias and all the things. We're trying to get the numbers up a little bit. I've been kind of slack on posting episodes on days when I should, just because the end of the summer gets like that for musicians. And I know the listeners who've been keeping up with the stuff know that I've warned you guys over the last couple of weeks that things might get a little sporadic over the next couple. But we're getting back into the normal swing of things here in the next couple of weeks. So anyway, please go to MIStuffPodcast.com. Please follow the MI Stuff Podcast on all of the social medias at MI Stuff Podcast, the number one on Twitter at MI Stuff Podcast, on Instagram and Facebook. And if you want to follow me personally, Kelsey Hudgens on Facebook and Twitter, and at Yonder Wizard on Instagram. If you want to follow Scott Mann on Facebook, he promises to either make you laugh or post something that you need to know about live music and things like that in this Myrtle Beach area, and then all around, honestly. But definitely check that out for all kinds of good content. And also the Head Shop, Sunday nights at 9:30 on Wave 104.1 in the Myrtle Beach listening area. Did I get that right? Well, I'll be damned. Won't you look at that?
Look at you.
And that is where you're going to find all of your cool hippie music for all us dirty hippies out there, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of the dirty hippies out there, take a bath. I'm just kidding. I'm one of those.
Okay, hit the off button. I got to take a leak.
All right, guys. I'm going to go ahead and let you get to your content. So do that. Be good people in a world full of shitty people. Tell me those people. Enjoy your content.
Enjoy, motherfuckers.
So yesterday and Blinded by the Light.
Have you heard of these two?
I have not heard of Blinded by the Light.
You know about yesterday, though. Most people know about yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Great movie. Blinded by the Light is based on a true story about a Pakistani teenage kid in Britain who gets turned on to Springsteen and just, like, becomes a fanatic and lives his life with the lyric. He feels like the lyrics speak to him.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's a really good
movie. So they're two very similar movies. Yeah, well, are they?
Only that they're both based around music of classic rock royalty. Okay. But other than that, you know, it's, you know, yesterday is based around what happened if the power went out and 12 seconds later came back on and there was no Beatles. And one guy remembered all the songs, and he just happened to be a musician.
Just so you know, if that were to ever happen, I'm the one that would happen to. I'm that Beatles fan that would wake up with the power of knowing all the Beatles songs.
And it's a great movie. It really is. But no, the other one is more finding inspiration in the songs,
okay,
finding similarities. You know, Springsteen writing the hardships of growing up in the mean streets of Jersey.
Right.
And it turns out when it takes place in the 80s, and this kid's going through the same kind of life in Britain with his Pakistani family whose father can't find a job and the whole thing. And so it's...
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I'll seek that out. I'm sure it's on Prime.
It's out there somewhere.
So have you ever seen The Music Never Stopped?
The Music Never Stopped.
It's about the dead song.
Yes, yes.
Well, not about...
Well, that was the one with the father...
Yes.
And then the son with the Grateful Dead shows.
Right.
And then he had
war. PTSD,
oh,
I think.
Oh, right. Okay. And the music is what helped.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that.
He would just sit there quiet, and then nobody would, like, he wouldn't say anything until he was prompted with questions about music, and he would just go on and talk about Grateful Dead 1970, you know, just throwing out the every stat from every band ever. That's beautiful.
Like you and me with a head injury.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Do you know who this person is? No. Do you know who Jerry Garcia is? Well, come on, man.
Yeah, right. I mean, so how do you feel about the things going on in the world that are the news is talking about? Zip. So how do you feel about this, you know, John Mayer playing with the Dead? Well, you know, I mean, he's a great guitar player. I mean, he sings well, too, but it's just so strange when you hear him singing Jerry's part.
And the poor kid could play a lot faster if Bobby'd stop slowing everybody down.
You know, I've heard you say that a lot, and I've went back and I've listened to a lot. Does it seem like Bobby is doing exactly what Jerry did at the end?
I feel like Bobby but Bobby's always been this way, even with Rat Dog. I feel like Bobby has a much more blues and jazz approach to the music because that's where his head is at. And, okay, you know, it's yours, dude. You can do whatever you want with it. Not far be it for me to say anything, but as for me and mine, we came to dance.
Right.
You know, and Shakedown Street's supposed to be a when Shakedown Street came out, the Grateful Dead got criticized for putting out a disco record in the late 70s.
Yeah.
And now you go, and all you want to do is dance. And to me, Shakedown Street is supposed to be a danceable disco-type song. And you go there, and it's so slow. It's not.
Now, is it possible that they kept it at the same tempo and just changed the progression or at all? Because I'll do that. I'll do some songs every now and again, and Adam will be like, dude, why are you playing this song so slow? I'm like, I'm not playing it slow. I'm just playing it halftime.
No, this is
the speed.
No. This is the difference between cocaine and a Quaalude.
Okay.
You listen to Shakedown, especially in those 80s days, and it's 100 miles an hour.
Right.
Same thing with Eyes of the World. Listen to those old Eyes of the World. You know, and then as you start to get to the mid-70s, they started getting really, really fast. And then when it came back in the 90s, in 1990, it became more of a mid-tempo jazz type song.
Yeah. Maybe they felt like their listeners, they're getting old too. They're not going to be wanting to move like this.
Well,
they probably weren't expecting to appeal to the next generation. Do you think they weren't? Do you think they were expecting to just have that crowd that they had? And
I don't know. You know, I don't know that. I can't even claim to know what was on their minds, but I can tell you that they were, you know, a million bands follow that path now.
Right.
But there was no one for them to follow. Everything that happened to the Grateful Dead after a certain point was uncharted territory. So I don't know if they knew what to expect. I think by the time they got to the mid 90s and they were filling stadiums every summer with, you know, teenage kids on up to you know, middle-aged guys, I think we might have
something here.
Generations are rolling on. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But we just keep making more deadheads. I don't know how it happens, but it keeps on happening. I'm glad for it.
80s were my glory days, Abby says. How's it going there, Abby? Good to see you.
Hey.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I want to think that they had the idea that this would happen. But then again, if they would have known this would happen, you think Jerry would have done it?
Jerry's got that famous quote where he said, "As for me, I've opted for fun in this lifetime."
Right.
You know, Jerry never got involved with anything political. He never expressed an opinion on anything. His whole thing was just do whatever you think you should do.
He probably didn't have an opinion on a lot of stuff.
No, not really. It never seemed that way.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I don't mind that. Oh, man, the Dead. So for audio... So for audio folks listening, there's a little bit of content at the beginning of this that you guys should go to the YouTube channel and check out at Kelsey Hudgens. How you like that? Shameless plug right there in the middle of the audio.
You're a professional at the shameless plug. You're doing well.
I'm very proud of the accomplishments that this podcast has made. And I'm very proud of the accomplishments that my speaking has made. Like, I feel like my in-between song chatter on gigs has improved immensely since I've been doing
the game up a little bit.
Yeah, just since I've been doing podcast one, and I watched this the podcast Kill Tony, which my listeners are like, oh, here he goes again. You only live once before mainstream. I hear you, Abby. But yeah, just doing the Kill Tony thing where they will like draw names out of a bucket and comedians will come on stage and do 60 seconds and then a panel of comedians will either critique them on their act to help them do better or they'll roast them because they were awful. And I love that. I don't know why. I just love it. But people know what they're getting into. They sign up at their own free will. They know that these guys, but just hearing the comments that the panel will give comedians that are trying to improve their act, I've stolen from all of that, and I've like started trying to do that in my shows. Like trying to do stand up in between my songs. Like I'll do a minute of stand up in between my songs, holding my guitar.
That's one of the hardest things.
It is. It's easier when you have a guitar.
Well, you know, they always say that I did a little bit. I did some emceeing up at the Comedy Cabana number in the years back. But they what comedians would tell me is, you know, musicians get up and, if nothing else, they have their songs.
Right.
And if they don't have their own songs, they can play somebody else's song.
Exactly.
But a comedian gets up there, and all he's got is that mic stand. And that's it. And,
that's right.
And you're there, you might as well be naked, and you better be funny.
That's the thing, man.
There is nothing louder than silence in a comedy club.
That is a fact.
I tell you what.
But see, I've noticed that I will do that in a room. Like, I'll get up there and I'll say something that I'm like, dude, this is going to kill. I did it the other night. I had this. You'll appreciate it just because it's, I don't know, I think it's funny. We were talking about, we're on the way up to Boone, and we were talking about zombie apocalypse somehow. I don't know.
Of course you were.
I don't know. It was something Smitty brought up. It was some zombie apocalypse.
Well,
or
that's
whatever.
Because if there is a zombie apocalypse somewhere between here and Boone, North Carolina, seems likely.
Yes, exactly. But Smitty was like, man, I'm going to get all this ammunition. I'm going to get all these rifles. I'm going to get all these pistols and everything. And I was like, just my immediate thought, my gut thought was, man, I think if there's a zombie apocalypse, I'm probably only going to need one bullet.
Oh, man.
I know it's awful.
That is dark.
But it's hilarious. Dark or not. It's, I mean, and I don't know. I think it's hilarious. But I told
that's
that joke.
Even darker.
I know. I know. But then I thought about it. I was like, dude, if it's a zombie apocalypse, and you know that's just a way of life where you're just going to have to live trying to, you're going to have to murder all these people that used to be humans and used to be people. I mean, is that really the life you want? And I went to like trying to talk them into it. And I was like, yeah, I guess I'm just demented. But I did tell that joke twice at gigs, and I got one laugh each time. And I said, just so you know, you're my people.
Yeah, when you do joke twice and you only get one laugh per doing of the joke, that one goes into the circular file.
I mean, I love those things because that's what my good buddy Norm McDonald does. Zombie apocalypse. Smitty's listening.
Oh, great.
But seriously, I thought it was hilarious. And I mean, listen, just so you know, nobody laughed harder than him and Adam in the van when I said that.
Is he nearby? Tell him to come on by.
Going to live on an island.
I'm going to live on an island.
Here's the thing. I never watched Walking Dead, one, because I felt like it was a dumb show, and two, because why not just go to the water? Why not just go commandeer a cruise ship? And just
lead them all into the water?
Just sit out. What are they going to swim to you? Are they going to figure that out?
Well,
and then climb up a boat?
Yeah.
Is that how is that the next part?
Well, see here, this is why I gave up on The Walking Dead. We watched, oh, God, it had to be, what, 7 or 8 seasons? I'll tell you what, and so if you've never watched The Walking Dead, here comes spoiler alert, okay? So, spoiler alert. But when they killed off Glenn, that was it for me. Because,
oh, yeah,
because
I remember him.
That was it, because I got to the point where it was like, okay, I understand the premise here, and I understand why I enjoyed it for as many seasons as I did. The you know, the gore and all that shit didn't bother me after a while. I mean, it didn't bother me all that long. It's beside the point. But what I found is, and for some people this is fine, for me it's not, there's never going to be a happy ending.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Things never get any better. And frankly, the whole the whole damn world is so negative right now. I don't need to spend my time going, you know what? You know what? The only way I can make the world seem less fucked up is to watch the zombie apocalypse. And at some point, that's just too much negativity for anybody. You know what I mean?
Of course.
We got, and it's been a few years now, but it got to a point at that time where I was just like, both Lynn and I were just like, you know what? It's just one, it's one less negative thing that right. we're putting into our brains right now because things exactly. are weird.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, man. I watched that show until they were looking for that little girl for like a season and a half or something like that. And I was like, yeah, she's a zombie. And the girl that I was watching it with was like, no, she's not. They're going to find her. And it's like, I was like, she's a zombie. And I was like, the zombie apocalypse has happened. She is a 7-year-old girl wandering around the forest. She's going to fight off the entire world of zombies on her own. She's a zombie. And then I see the episode where they go into that barn and see the little girl in there, and she's a zombie, and she starts walking towards them, and then the episode ends, and I was like, see that? Did you see what I saw just now? All right.
Yeah. So I was like, and I know what the response, I don't think we should see each other anymore, Kelsey.
Yeah, well, something like that. Something like that. But you know what? I got her back because I got her hooked on Lost.
Lost was fun. Lost was fun.
And for 4 or 5 seasons, it was.
We watched the whole thing.
I did, too.
And you know what? This is how I'm dating myself here, but I remember this happening with the final episode of MASH, too, which is my favorite all-time TV show. There was no way that they could end that show that would have worked for everyone. And no matter how they ended it, people were going to be pissed.
Right.
When I saw the end of Lost, I was just like,
okay.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
They're dead. Duh. I mean, there was no other way it could end.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I really like that. I wanted it to tie that supernatural to the real world. I wanted it to not just be imagination.
I mean, the funny thing is so much involved. There was so much involved with Lost that just never turned out to be a damn thing. The smoke monster?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
And the writers, because you know, the writers halfway through that, they started doing the Super 8 movie or whatever it was or something like that. They were doing this. They started doing other movies, and they started having other interests and things like that. And they said the writing staff just gave up halfway through. They were just let's not tie a bunch of loose ends. Going to see Alex Hooper in a few. This is great. Oh yeah, you can have the bullet one line, Abby. I'm just, you know, go tell it to one person who will think it's funny.
If it's funny, take credit for it. If they don't laugh, say, yeah, that was Kelsey's.
Yeah, be like, oh, I heard this guy do that.
I heard it on YouTube.
Yeah. But see, you know what? Some of the funniest stand-up I've heard, I believe, is where somebody says something that is so awful like that, but you're laughing before you realize, before you can process what you're laughing at, and you're already laughing, and it's like, ooh, should I be laughing at this? But then it's like, well, I'm laughing at this.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's funny you mentioned that. I had a conversation with somebody the other day. My wife and I were out eating, and we were talking to the girl who was waiting on us about movies and TV yeah. shows and stuff, and we said that we find inappropriate humor to be pretty funny.
Right.
And I'm thinking more along the lines of dark humor, like you're talking about yep. and stuff. And she says, oh, you got to go watch this show then. If you like inappropriate humor, you got to go watch this show. So she sent us home to watch the animated series called Big Mouth. Yeah, I lasted about... Now, if I had sat down on the couch with you to watch this show, okay, we probably would have had some laughs.
Yeah.
I'm sitting next to my wife. 40 seconds.
Understandable.
40 seconds into the first episode of the first season, and I'm like, nope.
Understandable.
I mean, that's the difference in the inappropriate humor that Yeah, I'm more akin to your one bullet theory than, you know, than yeah, okay. But so, I love what Smitty's over here. The best part of survival apocalyptic type movies is that even in the worst case scenarios, humanity and love still exist. Right up until the point where they eat each other.
I was just about to say that. You know? I was like, until they get hungry. Until they get hungry.
I'm sorry, dude. You know what? Let's get some fucking love and humanity in this world, and then we'll figure out how to keep it amongst the zombies, okay?
Let's not wait until it's the only thing on the shelf we haven't grabbed yet.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, let's do that a little early. And, you know, I have love and humanity, but, you know, people don't expect that because I'm also...
A hermit.
Asshole. you know. Which I was somewhat called out for the other day on Facebook because I complained about this guy who walked up to me at a gig and put his phone up to my ear. Hey, man, here, this song you can, I know you guys do this really well. After I've already told him like three times that. I don't know the song, man. I know the band you're talking about. I don't know the song by them, and I know a pretty good bit of their catalog, so I know this is a super deep cut. So I know that not many people here would know it either. But two, I'm working, man. Now it bothers me, and I know I'm an asshole for it. I don't care. It bothers me to know that people don't know what is appropriate and what is not during a gig from walking up, like trying to hand me headphones. Hey, man, and I understand they're trying to make a connection. I understand that, and I understand it's my job to please these people and to keep them wherever I am playing, spending money. That's my job. And I feel like I'm admitted to being an asshole. I don't, and again, I don't care. I just,
there's an asshole and then there's an asshole.
Yeah.
Okay. An asshole like you or me, that's society's word for people who can't control their urge to say what they think and what they see in front of them. Without a filter.
And most of the time to try to better those around
them. Right. At the end of the day, that our version of asshole is somebody who doesn't know better than to shut the fuck up.
Right.
But then there's an asshole. And that's somebody that deliberately uses their powers to make other people feel like shit in some way.
Oh,
and that's the difference. You're not trying to hurt anybody. You're just saying, I saw this. It annoyed me. Does it annoy anybody else? Or is it just me? Am I the only asshole in the room? Fine, I'm the only asshole in the room. Okay,
but I'm fine with that. fine with that.
But let's be honest. There's an asshole, and then there's an asshole.
Right. And I don't mind. And I've told people that. I was like, I don't mind being. I would rather be right than liked. And most people think that I mean that I would rather it me be right than liked. And I don't think I like because
no, you don't mean you'd rather be correct than be right. It means you want to be on the right side of history. You want to be on the right side of a situation. You know,
that's right.
I mean, you don't want to be like do you really want to be the last guy in the room to say no? I'm still against legalizing medical marijuana.
Yeah,
nobody wants to be that guy, but there is that guy.
Right.
So I mean. No.
There is that guy.
You'd rather be the guy that says, no, I'm on the right, I'm on the correct side of this.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's not that I personally am correct. I just...
No,
I want to be... Right. I want to be
like,
on the right side.
There are some people who think that, you know, we've got a climate problem in this world. Like, all these people over here. Yeah. And then there's a couple people over here who think we don't. Okay?
Yes.
At the end of the day... If I'm going to choose a side on that one, it seems to me that where the majority of science sits is probably correct, and I'd rather be on that side of it because, as I saw somebody say the other day, if I get it wrong and there was no climate crisis, we have an unreasonably clean planet.
Right.
And if you get it, and if you as the person who doesn't believe in climate change, if you as the person gets it wrong,
the consequences are
we're completely screwed. So I volunteer to be wrong.
Same here, man. I'm with you on that.
I volunteer to be wrong, to be on the wrong side of this. If you know, if it's not true and it was all a mistake, you know what? Just like when we have company, at least the house is clean. I didn't want to clean up. At 8:30 at night because somebody was stopping by. But you know what? At least the house is clean.
Yeah. By the way, sorry I didn't like clean up.
No, that wasn't on you. That was on me. That was on me. We had some company last night, and my wife was like, "We need to straighten up the house." And I'm one of those people that's like, I've got that moronic philosophy of if they don't like the condition of my house, well, fuck it.
Yeah.
They're not coming here to see my house. They're coming here to see us. But at the end of the day, you know that's the bullshit argument.
I'm of the same party, and I don't know. I think
most
of my stuff is just stuff sitting around that I haven't recycled yet. And I'm not joking. Like, I have plastics on the counter over there. I got like cardboards over. Brian Rossler in the house. How's it going, buddy?
Brian,
my good friend Brian. I did a nice little set at the Atlas Tap House the other night for one of Brian's showcase shows.
Brian and Brian's heard me say this publicly and privately about him over and over again, but Brian is one of the true heroes of the Grand Strand music scene in there. I dare anybody to dispute that.
1,000%. He is. Nobody could dispute that. You're the best, Brian. You are. We love you.
We love you, Brian.
We love you, Brian. So it's interesting that you brought up the last person in the room to say we don't need medical marijuana or legal marijuana, and also the climate in
Did
the
I
same
mention
sense.
I'm not here representing anyone other than
We're not representing
I'm
anyone.
I'm not representing my employer, my business, my friends, my family, my wife. I'm just here representing
exactly.
I'm just here bullshitting with my friend Kelsey.
And that's what I want this to be. That's because podcast is the last
vestige of free speech.
Yes,
in America.
It really is. And if we ever lose that, then it's time to throw up flags. Like, this is because this should be ours forever. And I've heard every podcaster that I appreciate and respect say the same thing. Like, this is the Wild West of the internet, and it should always be that.
And Smitty, man, you got it, dude. Just come over. We're doing it right now. It's time to tell everybody those things that nobody else will tell them. Come on, dude. What do you live 5 minutes from here? Come on.
Yeah. You got a microphone set up. But seriously, though, I read this article about waste, legal marijuana versus illegal marijuana.
Okay.
And the legal marijuana, I didn't even think about this until I read this article, causes so much creation of so much more plastic because of the bottles that it comes in rather than the bags.
You confuse me. You said legal versus illegal, and where it's legal, it's all legal.
Places, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yes,
but you're
yes,
talking
yes.
flower, like plant matter versus
vaping
cartridges and things like that.
Well, I'm talking about the vessels in which they come in, like literally the plastic bottles that you get it from a dispensary. It's in like a medical, like a plastic bottle, like a medicine bottle. And the amount of waste, I saw a picture that showed a shitload of like plastic bottles and then just a little stack of Ziploc bags.
I guess it's because I still live in a state where it's not legal.
Right.
So there's no product for me to look at,
right.
Because marijuana in all forms for any reason in the state of South Carolina is still illegal. Let's put that out there. But that being said, if you go to Colorado, which this is all hearsay, I haven't been to a legal state, but you go to there's packaging and marketing materials.
Right.
The same thing as any other product on a retail shelf. So all of a sudden, what people used to exchange in sandwich bags is now being exchanged in printed matter and plastic and non-recyclable stuff. And yeah,
surely there's got to be a place for those bottles to be recycled. One would think, right?
You would think. I mean,
within the community, there should be like, hey, can I bring the same bottle back? And it just,
yeah, but I mean, as well as I do, like any other business in the world, there's going to be the sustainable, environmentally responsible, certified organic guys over here.
Right.
And then there's going to be the ones that are going to make a shit ton of it all at once over here and put it out there in the best possible way to maximize their profit margin.
1,000%.
And then there's going to be about a million other guys in between. So, yeah. You know, I mean, it's, and that's part of, that's just part of the whole thing of that, that it's, that the country's in this giant transition, because now all of a sudden these are things we never had to consider before.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we have this new business that's creating all these new opportunities and all these new possible issues, and where do you, how far do you let it go and in what direction? And, you know,
right.
These are all things that I think part of the reason legalization is moving slowly is because even after how many years in Colorado, people are still like, well, we're still watching how this is developing. I mean, the liquor business has been around for centuries.
And they're making so much money, they're giving it back to the people, and you're still watching?
Yeah, well,
come on.
That's why they're still watching. But look, it'll happen. It'll happen at the federal level, and then all the dominoes will fall, and that'll be that. But yes. There's all kinds of, it's just like, there doesn't seem to be a cut and dry way to do anything. Hybrid cars were supposed to be a very good thing for the environment until somebody brought up and said, yeah, but with all those batteries, what do we do with them when they're spent? Because there's chemicals and all kinds of crap in them.
And producing them.
And if everybody converts to a hybrid, then we've got more of these batteries.
Yeah, it's almost like you have to choose the lesser of two evils.
And then you go to an electric car. Well, that's,
what's up, Mornon?
That's a whole different discussion. You know what I'm saying? It's like, my wife and I were talking and just watching the news and talking yesterday morning, as we tend to do on the weekends. And it's like, the problem in the world seems to be the desire. Everybody wants, we all want an easy answer to everything.
Yeah.
We want, is it A or is it B? Is it black, is it white? But the problem is most of the answers to most of the questions are somewhere in that gray area.
Right.
And there are certain people that don't see that gray area. And that is where your fringe people come from on either side of any discussion.
I like to live in the gray area, I think.
It's reality.
Yeah. That's the thing, is that people think that yes, Smitty said he just woke up.
I'm surprised, Kelvin. Dude,
Scott woke me up.
Yeah. I texted, and then it was like 2:15, and then we had set up for 3 o'clock, and I'm like, dude, seriously, I don't even know where you live. So I called him, you know.
And I was like, hey, man. He's like, yeah, we're still good for today. I was like, yeah, give me a minute to spruce up a little bit, and I had to jump up just like, because we got home. We left Boone last night at like, a little bit before 11, and I drove back to my car in Bennettsville, my hometown, and then we switched everything over, and I drove back home, and Smitty drove Adam and him back here. But I was listening to it on an audiobook, and they were like sleeping, so I'm just riding through the dark in the woods by myself, listening to snoring, like just driving down, like, yeah, this is awesome. Because I love that feeling, like I love that genuine fear, like
that's a great book. And you know, I haven't seen the remake of the movie. I haven't seen the sequel. I haven't seen I haven't seen the new version of it. I've only seen the TV version with
Tim Curry.
And for me, perfect.
It was good.
But that being said, the book was better than all of it.
Oh, for sure.
And a well-done audiobook of that. Yeah.
Dude, it's cool, man, because the guy that does it, he's pretty good. Now, the language in the book is just because I'm living in 2019. Some of the language in the book is tough for me. There's so many slurs that I'm just not used to hearing.
Yeah, things have changed. And
as often.
And as things tend to do. And at the end of the day, we're better for it. But it does. You ever look back at what you thought was okay?
Yeah.
And realize that, man, that was not okay.
Like Cheers? In the episode where Sam and Diane are just slapping each other. That would not fly today. And that was just a few years ago, it seems.
It wasn't that long ago. No, lots of things have, things have changed.
That's very true, Brian.
Yes.
Yeah, and you didn't miss much, Morna. We were just we're just rambling about life and things. But see, you know, I said this the other day, where a lot of folks that I talk to about podcasts that are really into podcasts, they'll be like, "Yeah, I gave your podcast a listen, man. You know, it's like you," and they're like, "Man, you don't even like you don't have no structure or anything. You just talk about whatever you think about, and you don't really." And I was like, "Yeah, but that's how conversations go. That's how the brain works. Like, if people wanted a podcast that had like everything like portions and things that are set up like
you, like what I do. You know me. I'm from radio, so everything has that kind of structure and everything else. But when it comes to especially like morning shows,
yes,
you know the best moments of any morning show, certainly you know TNA show, but any morning
sure.
show, the best." Moments of any show is when the people doing the show forget that they're doing a show.
Yeah.
And just talk the way they normally would. That's when it becomes engrossing because it's like, you know, you're listening in on somebody's conversation.
Yeah, something you shouldn't hear.
Kinda.
It's a you feel you like you're listening to something you shouldn't hear. Howard does that. He's the king of that, right? That's why everybody loved Howard.
At the time.
Right.
I mean, I was a Stern fan for years. I thought it was the coolest thing ever, and I worked at the radio station in Albany, New York, when they became his like fourth affiliate or whatever it was. And that was the year he ran for governor of New York. So he came into town. I didn't get to see him or meet him, but he came into town, and it was a big deal for the radio station. And we had Jackie Martling come in and do comedy.
Yeah.
And at the time, he was huge. And but at the end of the day, after a while, it just became repetitive to me. Every actress he had in there, he asked if she had a lesbian experience. You know?
Yeah.
And you know, and again, you talk about things that have changed over the years. Now it's 2019, and who cares?
Yeah, a lot of those a lot of those shows wouldn't work today.
You know,
back then.
I don't know, it's just the way it goes. Things change.
Change indeed.
Things change and people go with it or they don't.
Right.
You know, and it gets there whether you like it or not. That's one of those things that people just, you know, people cling to the past so much, and we all do it for different reasons. You know, some of us do it for, you know, with family reasons and different things, but people don't want to let go of certain things. It's change is scary. There's no doubt about it, but you know, things are going to move forward whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And it's not, if you don't like it, that's okay. But it's not fair to try to slow it down because it's gonna, it's gonna happen anyway. It's like when people started really trying to fight the whole same-sex marriage thing. You know, even now, it's only been a few years, and we look back on it and go, "Isn't that stupid?" But it's like people were really actively trying to fight that. Some people still are, and it's like, dude, it's done.
It's not going to affect you
but my point, and you're right, and that's but my point is it's done,
right?
And if it's not done, you know, certain other things aren't done, but they're in the process of being done.
Exactly,
you're slowing it down for everybody else. You know what I'm saying? It's going to happen anyway. You just, if you don't like the change, that's cool. You don't want to participate in the change, that's cool. If you're against legalization of either medical or recreational marijuana and you say, "I don't want to do that," that's great.
Oh, yeah.
But don't stand in the way of other people who are moving forward with this.
I have a fork in the road analogy in which the fork in the road, one of those roads is closed, and the people who like to go down that road before it was closed are standing there telling the other people why they shouldn't go down the other road.
And
that's just not, that's not progress. And I'm sorry, but we need progress. And people who are enemies of progress or against that, they're not good for.
It's just
anything.
You know, I mean, look, I understand. You know, as you get older, you start to understand why some people feel the way they do.
Oh yeah,
there's things I miss. You know, from back in the day when I was a kid, that don't exist anymore. I miss a life without this. I do.
Oh, yeah.
There was a time where if they couldn't find you, even before pagers, you know, I mean, I'm not that old, but before pagers, there was a time where if you weren't at home and you weren't at your desk or at work, people just assumed you were with your friends or with your family. They couldn't find you, and that's life.
Yep.
And if it was an emergency, they'd start calling your friends, you know, like your mom did.
Yep.
But I miss that. But I completely understand and am all right with the fact that we're never going back there.
Yeah, the box has been opened. The toothpaste is out.
It is. It really is.
What's up, Carrie? What's up, Bruce? I saw you in there a while ago. I forgot to. We were in a deep chat there at that moment. I didn't want to interrupt it, but hey.
Hey. So, you know, I mean, things change. It just, things move forward, things change, and, you know, whether people like it or not, we are, and for some people, including myself, much too slowly, but we are moving to a place in this country, and hopefully someday in this world, but in this country, where, whether you like it or not, human beings are going to be equal to one another.
That's
no
right.
No matter where they came from or what color they are or who they love or anything. That's where we're headed. It's obvious. There's no turning back. You know, some have tried. Some are trying. But that's where we're headed.
That's right.
If you don't want to be there, that's cool. That's your decision. You have every right. This is America. But just get out of the way.
That's the thing. Like, it's not going to affect your day-to-day life, no matter what happens, like especially with the gay marriage situation, and even with Bruce talking about the it's Carrie. Carrie's got the answer. I'm not even going to read that on to give him the
which where
we need Bruce says we need pot to help with pain and stomp out some opiate abuse, and that's 100%
fact. Of course. I'll be on.
Pot were legal nationwide, we would still have Tom Petty. We would probably still have Prince.
Yeah, and I could name a few people that I'd still have that I'd actually know.
Right.
You know, I mean, and there are those that we know that are dealing with it as we speak.
Absolutely. And it's just so sad that that is an option, just because people feel like, I don't know, I just feel like if you could have something that could ease your pain legally that was safe, because any way you want to put it, you know, all those commercials about this is your brain on drugs, your reaction time, like, dude, people don't get out and go driving around like that, stoned all the time, man. You're not leaving. That's why there's Domino's and delivery and couches and things like that, because we don't leave those a lot of the time.
Well, I tell you what, here's the thought process. I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and he is currently doing what a lot of people do, which is abstaining from cannabis use due to job-related stuff.
Exactly, and that's just...
And we got to talking about that, and then we got to talking about truck drivers, and he said that he had one time had to apply for that kind of thing.
Right.
And apparently, they'll test you for marijuana.
Yep.
And if there's any bit in you, you're done. You can't do that. But you can take a handful of oxycodone and jump behind the wheel, and nobody will blink an eye.
Right. And there's no policing that.
There's no breathalyzer test for a pill.
Right. There's no way to test for that. It's just so sad that people are just giving these things out left and right. I wonder if it's, here's some conspiratorial thought for you. I wonder if it's like,
here
a,
we go.
I wonder if it's like a population control situation.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
That I went there.
You did go there, didn't you? I've never even considered that.
Well, because,
but I mean, if you wanted to go that direction, if you think about it,
fuck you, Reapack.
I mean, there is an awful lot. There's an awful lot of population control going out there. If that's the case,
yeah.
I mean,
there really is.
I mean, okay. You might as well kick it out there with it's the thing everybody's been talking about. Is, you know, oh my God, 8 people have died from vaping. Okay, but to this day, even in this day and age, thousands of people are dying from cigarettes.
We hope they don't come after butter.
They're, yeah. but I mean, there's... But I'm not looking at it from the inevitable discussion point of the libertarian point of view. I'm more looking at it from the point of view of we are so concerned about the safety of this one thing. But in the grand scheme of things, this little thing happened.
Yes.
And over here, we have the, you know, as the memes have been saying, but we have the thousands of people who die from smoking and the thousands of people who die from alcohol.
Right.
And then the big one is the shootings thing. And it's like, okay, no matter what happens in this country, everybody screams about the gun and the mass shooting situation.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get into it, but at the end of the day, nothing's getting done.
Right.
So it's okay that nothing's getting done about that. Regardless of where you stand on it, it's no problem that nothing's getting done about that, but those fucking vapes gotta go.
Right.
And it's, you start to wonder, it's, if when you talk about it on this level, it sounds as ridiculous as it looks.
Yep.
You start to wonder, how can they not know that that's ridiculous? Well, of course they know it's ridiculous. And then if you want to get conspiratorial about it, which I'll leave to you. But if you want to get conspiratorial about it, well, it's distraction and, you know, how many steps is it from that to population control? I mean,
I think they were doing it to try to keep people from storming Area 51.
Does anybody know how many people actually showed
up? No, and I don't even care. I had somebody up.
I mean, I kept seeing pictures on social media, and then somebody would say, that's not real. I don't know how many people actually went.
I had somebody on my podcast over the last couple of months that kept sending me messages, man, like, if you want to go live in this group that I've added you to about the thing. And I was like, man, I just, to be perfectly honest, I don't know enough about the situation nor really care enough about the situation to like produce content on it. Like, I don't know. I don't care.
I'm looking at if you're loved by someone, you're never rejected.
Decide what to be and go be it.
Decide, you know, what to
that's
be
an Avett Brothers song.
Okay. I did not know that.
And your life is not changed by the man that's elected. If you're loved by someone, you're never rejected. Decide what to be and go be it.
There it is. And Smitty said the same time. Look at that. See, this is where I get back. I don't sing. I'm not a musician. I can't do any of that stuff.
Singing is like, everybody's like, everybody says I don't sing, but it's just any other muscle that you have that can be exercised is like, it's just talking differently. That's all it is.
Yes, but the thing that happens is when I talk differently, people cringe and run and complain, and it's unpleasant for everyone.
Yeah, and Carrie, I don't know if that's the case, but Carrie cares. Like, yeah, and the minorities are to blame, and a lot of people feel that way, and that's unfortunate. I know he's just being.
Oh, he's being facetious.
Yeah, of course he is.
Totally, but hey, look.
What up, Cam?
Hey, Cam. That was a dream, and one day I could see it.
Yep, that's the next line of the song.
Scotty for president 2020. I know you ain't talking about me.
Now, here's a funny thing that Joe Rogan talks about a lot of the time. And he says that for one person to have this job of president is just foolish.
It is.
So this is such a hard job. This is the hardest job in the world, probably. To give it to one person is why? He's like, they think that there's one person who is running... Who's got his finger on the button for the free world is a foolish thought. Like, why have just one person? And then you only have two to choose from
when
it comes time. And whether no matter how many are on the ballot,
you can sit here and dissect the system. The system definitely is not ideal.
Not at all.
I don't know. I think that in any form of government, you have to have somebody to break the tie.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But I don't know. Clearly, we've got a system that's based on something important, but clearly we're not using it right. Somebody missed. Yeah. Somebody forgot. You know, I was going to crack a joke about somebody somebody losing the instruction booklet, but inevitably, it'll be Smitty that'll come back and say the instruction booklet is the U.S. Constitution. It's right there.
Yeah,
and it is. But at the end of the day, our government is supposed to take whatever anybody's talking about and run it through the filter of that document and see if it works. But nobody can even agree on that.
Yeah.
And nobody can even agree on whether or not the things in that document should have a expiration date or a renewal date based on the obsolescence of it. I mean, it takes literally an act of Congress to be able to amend the Constitution or change it in any way, and people are incredibly reluctant to do that.
Yeah, indeed.
But they did it when it came to slavery, and they did it when it came to booze, and they did it when it came to allowing women to vote, and that's about it. I mean, it hasn't been changed that many times.
And I know I've quoted Rogan again, but he says the same thing. He's like, if you were to bring Thomas Jefferson back right now, he would say, you guys didn't write any new shit? Yeah. It's like, I wrote this thing with a feather, dude.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so there is an instruction booklet, but there's no instruction booklet for the instruction booklet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just, there isn't an, right, you're right about that. But I don't know, there actually kind of is, and I think that this is it. The Declaration, I think, shows you, like, what kind of person you, I don't know, it sort of gives you a way of an understanding that the Constitution can always be. Have you ever seen a movie with Honors?
Don't think so.
It came out in the early 90s, maybe late 80s. It had Brendan Fraser, Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci played a homeless guy who lived on Harvard campus.
I may have seen that.
And
it sounds vaguely familiar.
He goes into this, the Pitt Cannon, the man on campus at Harvard, the big professor or whatever. What up, Steve? He goes and talking about what is the genius of the Constitution, and he picks out the homeless guy who Brendan Fraser has brought into the class who is actually a very eloquent, smart guy. And the guy, the professor, is like, okay, so you seek monetary gain or whatever for doing nothing, and throws money up so the homeless guy can take it, Joe Pesci. And he says, you asked a question about what is the genius of the Constitution. He says, the genius of the Constitution is that it can always be changed. He said the people who wrote the Constitution were smart men, but they knew that they weren't the smartest men, so that they left the loophole to correct themselves if ever anything they wrote was wrong. And the genius of that is that it can always be changed. And he's like talking about the president isn't an elected king. The president is a puppet to the people. The president is, he's like, the president is no better than me. He says the president is, he cannot do anything without Congress. And he says there is nothing that he can, he's like the president, basically, I'm paraphrasing what he said. Well,
no, but I get the gist of what you're saying, but unfortunately we all know, and we're not talking about any specific president.
Right.
And, you know, I am unwilling to get into that argument.
Oh, for sure. Same here.
But at the end of the day, we all know presidents have found ways to do things without Congress.
Right.
And everything's all screwed up. That's all we know. Nobody's happy. That's all we know. You know what? If you ask the Republicans, the system is all screwed up, and it's the Democrats' fault, and we have very specific reasons why.
Yes.
And if you ask the Democrats, they'll say it's the Republicans' fault, and we have very specific reasons why.
Exactly.
And I have said on more than one occasion that as far as I'm concerned, there's only one rule. Don't be a dick.
That's it.
That, I mean, really, because if you, and it's kind of funny, but if you narrow it down and you take all of our rules, any of our rules from the Constitution, or if you happen to be of the religious ilk, any of the Ten Commandments, any of it, it all comes down to don't be a dick.
Right.
You know, thou shalt not kill. Killing somebody's that's kind of dickish to kill somebody, you know. Don't steal. Don't be a dick. You know, don't take advantage of somebody so that you can get a bunch of money and leave them completely fucked. But hey, at least you got a bunch of money. No, don't be a dick.
Right.
And That's what all of it comes down to. Don't mistreat anybody. Don't try to take anything away from anybody. Live your life. Do the best you can. And don't be a dick.
I feel like your conscience will let you know what the laws of humanity are. And it's pretty easy to follow those, I feel, for most people.
To a point. I agree to a point. I think sometimes we all need to be nudged in the right direction.
Right.
You know.
Good on you for that too, Brian.
Yeah, absolutely. But just that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. I see too many people doing too many things on every level, from just driving like a complete asshole to, you know, running things like a complete asshole. And it's like, You know what? Just stop for a second. And the problem is we're all human, because I'm a dick a lot of the time. And I don't want to be.
Yeah.
And after I am, I feel bad about it. You know? But I mean,
see, I need to work on that part.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel bad about it.
Well, I mean, look, when you're a dick, again, it comes down to what we were saying at the beginning, which right. There's an asshole and there's an asshole. You know? I mean, you know, I don't see why anyone from the janitor to the president can't get up in the morning and just say, and just go through the day with, if of no other criteria of the day, if I'm faced with the opportunity to, and I'm going to put it in probably more of a, you know, the touchy feely snowflake kind of terminology, because that just happens to be who I am.
Sure.
But if you could just go into the day with the idea that if I'm faced with the opportunity to do something that's going to leave somebody somehow hurt or upset, and I can avoid that in some way, I'm going to.
Yeah.
If you set no other goal for the day other than to try to get through the day without screwing up somebody else's day, I just think it'd be a better world.
I think by default you would feel better at the end of the day, no matter what inconvenience you would put yourself through. If you knew that you lived your entire day with trying to help somebody else have a better day, I'm sure that would turn out pretty well for you. And I'm getting to the point where I think I might could do that, but man, I think that my instincts are just too selfish at times.
Well, everybody's selfish. We're all selfish.
Yeah.
I'm selfish. Nobody wants to hurt. I certainly don't want to hurt. Nobody wants to go through a difficult conversation. Nobody wants to be faced with something that's truly ugly.
Yeah.
You know, so we do, well, even though we don't even know it, we do it unconsciously a lot of the times, but we do anything we can to avoid discomfort.
Right.
And sometimes in doing that, we inadvertently, or we discover that we just don't give a shit, we hurt somebody else or put somebody else in a bad position or line our pockets at the expense of somebody else. Well, they gave me the money instead of giving somebody else the money. Yay me. You know, I don't know. You know, you could guilt yourself to death thinking about this. But the truth is if you could just, you know, you don't have to overthink it. Just try to just not be a dick. I can't really explain it any more than that.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. And that's not that hard to do, really. And it's just, it's a matter of, for me personally, like for the longest time, especially when I was drinking, like I would have zero filter at all. And I would just say exactly what was on my mind. And I didn't care how it affected whoever I said these things to. But over the last few years, I've just been trying to update my filter, for lack of a better term. And just that way, I don't really, because I don't like to think much about what I say, because I want to respond honestly.
Right. And I'm the same way. And, you know, off the top of the head.
Right. And I think you may have gone through the same thing. Is it just you try to update your filter, which means you make your outlook to where you don't have to think about what you're going to say. You just know that it's coming from a place in which you'd be satisfied with your intentions at that time of what you said, like what you said means, whether how people accept it or not, you know what you meant, and you know that comes from a good place.
Right. I mean, it's hard for a lot of people, like we were saying earlier, change is tough for a lot of people. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, if you can just get up in the morning, as I said, but let me put it a slightly different way. The world is going where it's going. Everybody is human, and everybody deserves to be treated like an equal human. And at the end of the day, if you can just get up in the morning, and I don't care where you stand, because, you know, there are plenty of people, actual people that I know, not statistical people, that when I first met them, they thought a certain way. They were bigoted in some way. They were racist in some way. They were homophobic, whatever it was. And then several years went by, and guess what? Their outlook on things, because of their experiences of the past few years, have changed their outlook on things.
Right.
Well, you know what? Now that I know certain people, and now I know certain things, and I understand things a different way. People don't stand up behind a podium and tell the world their progress in their thought.
Right.
You know? It's like... No, the way that that these problems seem to get solved is you plant a seed in somebody and they wake up one morning and ask themselves an honest question, and maybe they say, you know what, I'm just going to look.
Right.
You know, and if you can just get up in the morning and say, no matter who I encounter today, no matter who I talk to today, I'm going to treat every person that I talk to today, regardless of who they are, I'm going to base how I treat them on how they treat me.
You base everything on how they treat you, like how you treat them on how they treat you.
Like mutual respect, garners respect.
Right.
You know, kindness garners kindness. And at worst, if somebody treats you like shit, you just wish them the best and move on. That's a hard,
right.
It seems really, really simple. And coming out of my mouth, it sounds really, really simple. But the truth of the matter is it's incredibly difficult, because every minute of your day is colored by the previous minute.
Now, that's true. That's actually a really good line. Every minute of your day is colored by the previous minute. Huh. That's good. I like that.
I don't know where the hell that came from. I apologize for
that. That's good.
I did not. If I stole that from somebody, I apologize to them. I don't know. It just popped into my head.
You know, I have a lot of those things. It's something that you could have heard somewhere before. But every now and again, if I say something like that, I'll be like, have I ever heard that before? That was good. That's nice. I like that. 11 years ago, Scott, you gave me 2 tickets to a show at House of Blues on 7/30/2008. I will never forget that.
July 30th, 2008. What show was that?
You know, who would that be? I'm trying to see if I can guess who that would be.
July 30th, 2008. Okay, let me think about this for a minute. It wasn't the Disco Biscuit show, because that was 2010, and that was in June. July 8th. 2008.
It wasn't Flaming Lips, because that was 2007.
It could have been. God, it could have been anybody.
Could have been anybody. Government Mule and Yonder Mountain String Band.
It could have been Umphreys. It could have been... Huh?
Widespread.
Could have been Panic.
Who the fuck? Could have been Panic.
That sounds exhausting.
But no, it's easy to. And I'm that person. I've told, and Smitty's that person too. Is sometimes you become a mirror, and I will. And I've said that to him, and I'm the same way too. And because I noticed the same things, like you will treat somebody else exactly how they treat you sometimes. And I do, but I'm the same way. I will treat somebody exactly how they treat me sometimes. There's a few people in my life who can just get away with murder, you know, like they're just, there are.
Like and, me.
Well, no. Yeah. I think all of us, anybody in the circle that we are in, can just there's no wrong that can be done within us.
Yeah.
But there are other people. There are other people. Like if it's somebody who I don't really know well, or somebody who I'm meeting for the first time, I feel like I treat them how they want to be treated for the most part. But then if I get to a point to where they seem like the kind of person who doesn't care how anybody else feels about how they act around them, then I will give that back to them.
We all adjust to our situation.
Yeah, especially I'll give that back to them.
Especially those of us. Umphreys McGee was the opener. Oh, it was Soundtribe. Ha!
Well done. Did I go to that show?
No, he said Panic. It wasn't Panic. It was Soundtribe and Umphreys.
No, I remember that show. Panic.
I remember that show. Yes. I remember the existence of that show. But yeah, that was a good show.
I don't know if I went to that one. That might have been... Oh, no, I know I didn't go to that one because
There's the specific reason why I know I didn't go to that one. I can't air out right now.
Okay. Well, there you go.
I know I didn't go to that one. I went. I saw Sound Tribe in Asheville at Thomas Wolfe Auditorium, and nobody opened for them. No opener.
Oh, let me tell you about the first time I saw Sound Tribe. I was working at a radio station in Greenville, South Carolina. And they sent me to do a live remote from the Brevard Jazz Festival. Now, Brevard, I don't know if you don't know. Oh, it was your birthday, too. That's cool. the Brevard Jazz, Brevard is a this really neat town that is located between the state line and Asheville.
Yeah.
And aside from being it was the home of Jim Baker, I think that was Jim Baker's hometown, or he lived there at some point. But Brevard has this jazz festival in this beautiful park, and they've got a really nice amphitheater in there.
Yeah.
And they had the, you know, just traditional jazz going on up there, and they had some wine and different things. And so we went up, and I did my live broadcast, and we got to stay the day, and we're walking around. And we start following this path towards this, where this, and we, let's find wherever the second stage is. And we follow this path, and we get to one of these pavilions, like at Myrtle Beach State Park, you know, one of the picnic pavilions. And we get there, and there's like a small stage set up in there, and there's a band getting ready to play, and there's like 15 people. And this band starts playing, and I'm like, this isn't jazz. I'm like, this is really neat. And when they finished, I walked up and started talking to the guy, as I tend to do, and it was Sound Tribe. Nobody had ever heard of it. They were a new band, a reasonably new band out of Atlanta. And they gave me a studio burn, because this was back when nobody, you didn't burn your own CDs.
Yeah, right.
This was in 96, I think, maybe. And they give me this gold-colored CD, nothing printed on either side, and a case. It's a Studio Master from their album Interplanetary Escape Vehicle. I still have it. It's a great album. But, yeah, that was the first time I saw Sound Tribe in the woods with, like, 15 people in Brevard, North Carolina. And
that's badass.
Nobody knew who they were, and it was pretty cool.
And, dude, we went up to... We went up to Asheville. It was me, Carrie, Reggie, and another friend of ours that you probably wouldn't know. Went up, and dude, it was, I don't know. I haven't felt that in a long time since. There's certain things that, like, there's certain types of music that when you hear it, and that's so foreign to me as a musician, there's certain types of music that I can hear that's so foreign to me that I can't, like, plug that part of my brain into where I'm playing along with everything that I hear at all times, because I do that. Like, I'll play along in my head to everything I'm hearing all the time. Every now and again, when I hear something that's so foreign to me that I can't make sense of it, my brain doesn't know how to accept what I'm hearing or seeing.
And that is that Sound Tribe.
That Sound Tribe. And I've never felt that since.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's some of those bands, those more electronic-leaning bands, will just, your brain just locks on to that, and it's transformational.
Yeah, it really is. Just hearing, like, that little blip, 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 blip thing in Rabble, that little Mario sound that they play through a whole song. Like, I'll send the whole song and just listen to that one little part. Blip, 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 and just the whole time, just listen to that one little thing, and there's this beautiful arrangements going on around it musically that I can't describe. And
Kelsey needs to see Big Something and Dr. Bacon live.
Well, about that Big Something thing, I have seen them, and he actually set up my guitar rig for me the day at Boathouse. No. You remember that?
No.
You talked me up. You introduced me. You brought me on stage.
That's right.
I opened for Big Something the second time they came to Boathouse.
They played inside.
That's right.
Yep. That's right. Well, they're... They're a lot of fun to see them at big at their own festival at the Big One.
It's just
an experience. And Dr. Bacon, those guys are a blast. And actually, that leads me to, you know, every time I do this with you, you ask me for a music recommendation.
Yeah.
Dr. Bacon is about to release a new album.
Okay.
Their first full-length studio album.
Nice.
And they're going to start selling it for the first time next weekend at their own Smokedown Festival that they're having in Snow Camp, North Carolina. Tickets still available. The album is called Fast and Loose with the Essentials.
That sounds like a sick band name.
Yeah, that's the album title. Fast and Loose with the Essentials. And I got a hold of a copy of it from the band. I'll be playing a song from it that nobody's ever heard outside of the band and family tonight on the Head Shop, by the way. So listen, 9:30,
nice.
104.1 FM, out there in the world, wave104.com. But this is a great, 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 great album. And when it comes out, you should buy it.
I'll do that to your recommendation. I will.
Yes, when it hits the services, download it, stream it, listen to it. It's really, really good. Very diverse. I mean, anybody that's seen Dr. Bacon knows, you know, there's nothing they can't do.
Yeah.
And they could make that awful Titanic song fun. Yeah. In fact, I may challenge them to do that. Guys, take that awful Celine Dion song and turn it into something that doesn't suck.
not no drinking whiskey here, Steve.
No, not at the moment. I tried, but I got here and where's the camera? The bottle was empty. It's empty. The bottle's empty. There's nothing in it.
Product placement.
Dude, send more.
Yeah.
I've literally had one sip. Or was it two? Two sips at the reggae festival this weekend. Our buddy... Uh-oh. Your carpet is trying to eat my chair.
Yeah, what happens? Happens to the best of us.
Our buddy Dreddy Rob... formerly Dreddy Rob, he had a bottle of it, and he hooked me up with just to pull off the bottle. Oh my God, so good! And I get here, and there's an empty bottle.
Yeah, hasn't been recycled yet.
Such a tease.
I got another empty bottle sitting. Right
I know here. It's decor.
It really is now. It really that's is what decor. It is. My one and only sponsor, man. My one and only sponsor, Screwball Whiskey. Screwballwhiskey.com. Tomorrow's stories begin right here. Carrie Harris says, Screwball Whiskey is the answer, though I forget the question.
Whatever the
question. I remembered that comment from a while ago, and I forgot to read it. But, no, I everybody that I've had on here that has tasted it said that it was delicious, and there will be more screw. And I think we can get it here now, so I might just get a couple
bottles. It is available in town.
Get a couple bottles to sit around here.
So there you go.
Yeah, Steve probably did. They were at Welcome All Getaway.
Were they? Who was?
Dr. Bacon?
Dr. Bacon, yes. They were at Getaway, and they were at Big What as well. But, yeah, they were at Getaway. They were the, you know, every year at Getaway, when it's over with, there's always one band that everybody was like, and this year it was Dr. Bacon. Everybody was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. They were so cool. They were so amazing. They were so much fun. And they were. And they were the last ones out, too. the festival ends. We do music Sunday night. And then Monday morning, Memorial Day, everybody gets up and goes home.
Yeah.
Not everybody gets up and goes home. Some of us get up and start cleaning up.
Yeah, right. You know?
And 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Memorial Day. And... I wander up to the campground, and there's some of the guys from Dr. Bacon and a couple of the cosmic superheroes just sitting around in a circle, jamming away in front of the official Dr. Bacon RV camper. And it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they're just waking up. And yeah, it's Dr. Bacon wins the Iron Man Award for this year, no doubt.
Right on, man.
But they were a blast, and they're always fun to see, always. So
I've gotten to where I feel like I might be able to go out and see live stuff again.
Brian Wrestler says of Screwball, it's like fermented Captain Crunch peanut butter cereal. Completely. Totally. That's the best description I could get. That's what it is.
Well, there you go, Kerry. You can take that back to your
cohorts. And I'm sure General Mills will, you know, be perfectly willing to let you use that for your advertising.
Shit.
Pour this on your cereal.
Yeah. See, I don't know. There's certain cereals that I stopped getting because they have this, like, a pesticide in the ingredients. Like, it's like a... there's literally something that you buy in the, like, it's a pesticide that is among the ingredients list in certain types of cereals. And I don't know, I think it's like a preservative, like they use it as a preservative and stuff like that. But I don't know that the things that they are able to use in preservation of stuff like that falls under the same like scrutiny as other ingredients, like in beauty products. There's like so much that can be hidden in fragrance, like scent, things like that.
Well,
that, like,
in food, there are certain things to watch out for.
I learned that from Ashley Justice, by the way.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Ashley. I am, I'm notorious for being, you know, kind of a health food nut.
Yeah.
But I'm not terribly as good to myself as I used to be. And I need to get back to that, and I say that all the time. But we do pretty well, and most of the food we buy for our home is organic. And, you know, we try to do as well as we can. There are certain things, though, and my wife is the research queen, and she has read on all this stuff and taught me as best she can, considering, you know, this. But
good job, Lynn.
But there are things like the terms you'll find in food are like natural flavorings. That's where they hide shit. Natural flavorings.
Right.
And other natural flavors. Corn sugar is just another more politically correct term for high fructose corn syrup. It's the same thing. Flavor enhancer, that's MSG.
Right.
You know, and words like light, home style, homemade.
Yeah.
They mean nothing. They're marketing terms. They have there's no regulation or any kind of rules about using those words. You know, you can call something, you know, chocolate and then chocolate light because it has a different color.
Yes.
You know.
And it's all just a ploy to sell candy to you guys.
I mean, there's a lot of places they hide.
Oh, yeah. That's just so slimy. And I hope, will we ever reach a point, do you think, in this country to where it's things? Because in Europe, they don't have the issues that we have with food things. Like, in Europe, everything is, like, so much healthier naturally just because of the laws that are in place there.
The funny thing is, and it's... I have no data to back this up. This is just a personal observation.
Yeah.
Okay. But in America, we like to say, and I say we as in the country, not as in like you and I, because I can't speak for you, but what I'm going to say is not necessarily what I think personally.
Yeah.
But in America, we say we let the market decide. And in a lot of other places in the world, they don't let it get to that point. Okay.
Yeah.
They say, no, we're not going to let the market decide. Genetically modified soybeans are no good for anybody. We're just not going to allow them.
Yeah.
We've seen enough evidence that even if we're only to the point where we can't be sure that they're safe, then no. And we say if people want to take that risk, that's up to them. And if they don't want to take that risk, that's up to them.
Yeah.
And usually we find that what they do in other places, we usually wind up there.
Right.
You know, but we let the market decide, and it takes a lot longer. And in some cases, that may be all right, but I'm afraid, I believe when it comes to our health and the well-being of ourselves and our kids and our dogs and cats, I guess so.
We'll give them in.
But at the end of the day, when it comes to that kind of stuff, you don't let the market decide, because the market is always going to decide to do what is best for the market.
Yes.
Okay. It's always going to be based on the money thing. And at some point, which is, I imagine, why we supposedly have a government that's supposed to have some sort of balance to it, is because when somebody says, well, I want to let the market decide because rich, there's supposed to be somebody else who's supposed to be, you know, of equal but opposite, you know,
interests,
power, I guess, or whatever, that says, but weight health. And then everybody else in the middle is supposed to go money, health, how do we make this work?
Yeah.
And nobody seems all that interested in the process of how do we make this work anymore.
Now, here's the funny thing is I wonder if ever the laws in this country do change according to what can be put in foods. Is everybody just going to complain, now this doesn't taste as good as it used to, or this isn't the same as it used to be, because that's what we'll do.
Well, it's not, though.
Yeah.
But I mean, it you say that, but the funny thing is the only time you say ever, this isn't what it used to be, it's usually because they did one of those things that they shouldn't have done that we're trying to, that people are trying to stop. Okay. People love to drink Mexican Coca-Cola because it tastes like it used to taste, because Coca-Cola off the American shelf doesn't taste like it used to taste because it's made with high fructose corn syrup instead of sugar.
Yes.
But the Mexican stuff is still made with sugar because in Mexico, like other countries, they don't use high fructose corn syrup because people are there seems to be some research leading to the idea that it might not be good for you. But that's where we're at. You know, I say we try to use organic food, you know. Right. There was a time where there was no such thing as organic food because
it was just that.
Because it was just food.
Yeah. You know? Everything was organic.
Exactly. So, I mean,
what can you do?
What can you do? I mean, it's the age-old conflict of profit versus people.
You know, I hate that too, man. I hate that it's gotten to the point to where people care more about lining their pockets than they do the health of the people who are lining their pockets.
But here's a question. On some level, don't you think it always has been that way and probably always will be?
Yes. Of course, I do. And I don't know. I just, every now and again, I'll have this foolish thought that maybe one day things won't be like they are. And
I have to believe that someday things won't be like they are, because things aren't like they were.
Now, there's some deduction for you.
Things aren't like they were. Things have improved. See, the problem is I mean, from my point of view, the problem is that everybody wants change. But the problem is that everybody wants it to happen really, really quick. And it doesn't.
Yeah, it
change
takes time.
Is really, really slow. Okay, if by you know, we were talking about, you know, marriage equality earlier. That's a big change, and it happened, and it's normal now. It's part of the world. It is. It's part of the world, like it or not. It's normal. You know, there are some people that think no marriage should be legal, but you know,
I like you so much. I want to bring the government into this.
All right, but let's be honest. By all rights, that should have happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
But it didn't. Because change is slow.
It is, man. I'm hoping that it's getting a little quicker just because I think more people are looking at it now. More people, it has more eyeballs on it now than it used to, I think. Like the things that need to change, the things that need to happen, the little tiny things in people's hearts that are telling them maybe this isn't the right thing to do, I think is louder than it used to be. I think that maybe we could do a little bit better thought is a little bit louder in people's heads now than it used to be.
I think I agree with you. And that's why I said before, you know, if people could just wake up in the morning and go, you know what, I'm just going to treat everybody okay today. And I'm just, you know, let's see if I can get through the day reminding myself that every person is no better or no worse than me.
Right. We're all in this together. We're all doing the same thing. I even said that about bugs. Adam will kill a bug or something like that. I'm like, man, he's just trying to do what we're trying to do. He's just trying to live his life and get along with the next level.
Yeah, but that doesn't work with spiders and mosquitoes.
I know, but I'll let them go. I'll let them all go. That's a good point, Smitty. Change without profit is slow.
Yeah, regardless. But yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that. But regardless of why change is slow, it's still slow.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, again, if we could just maybe just set that goal for ourselves, you know, just get up in the morning and say, you know what, nobody's any better than me, nobody's any worse than me,
except just kidding. You're right.
Except I could come up with a whole list of except. There's plenty of people that are worse than me.
But here's the thing. Anytime we tell these people that, it's not that we're thinking that we're better than them. It's that we think that everybody else around them might have a better go at it if they just listen to us. Because we know what's right.
No, Brian knows what's right. I'm looking at Brian. Brian, you know why Brian's right? Brian's not right because of what he's saying. Brian's right because he's using all them big words because he's a college professor and he's smarter than all of us. He's like, I would like to believe in capitalism, but the crony capital we have is just another form of oligarchy.
It is an oligarchy.
It really is, but that's just far just more articulate than I could ever achieve.
We could use these words in the way that we think they should be. Like, man, this is just a bunch of oligarchy. It's like, no, it's a bunch of malarkey, not oligarchy. It sounds the same.
There's a concept. Smitty's like, the issue is what is considered the profit. Love is profitable. Is love profitable?
Yeah, and health. Just I don't know. Understanding is profitable. Like, I don't know, just seeing the world as something that's there for everybody and not just for you is profitable. And I think, like, not, and I don't say not just for you, I mean, like, just not just for me, not just for everybody else involved. I mean, just...
Yeah, I mean, but obviously we're talking profitable, we're talking financial, just for the sake of the discussion.
Right.
You know, hell, you know how I feel. I understand the desire to make money. I want to make money. I like making money. I enjoy money.
Sure.
I enjoy spending money. But I think, I mean, and this is where true capitalistic people look at me and say, you're a bad American. But I don't think everything should be a profit margin. I don't think people's health should be something that you can profit from.
Right.
I think that if it's something people need to survive, you know, this idea, you know, of, okay, you need this medication to live, but you have to pay for it and you can't pay for it. So, sorry. Maybe you should ask for help. I mean, that's just, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
I saw this meme the other day that said, why is methadone for the addict that lives down the road from me free when my diabetes medication is $700 a month? And somebody had edited the meme to cross out the why is the methadone free for the addict that lives down my road. They crossed out all that stuff to where it just says, why is my diabetes medication $700 a month, which is so true.
It is, and that's the problem, because the discussion will always center, whenever you know, you have people that view certain segments of our society as in different lights.
Yes.
Some people view addicts as people with an illness, and some people view them as criminals. And so these comparisons that really have no relationship to one another are brought up. Like, why does he get free methadone, but I have to pay for my diabetes medication? You're implying that he should have to pay for his methadone the way you pay for your diabetes medication.
Yeah.
When in actuality, you should get your diabetes medication the same way he gets his methadone, which is, right, if you can't live without it, there's a plan for that.
Yeah, I think the point of that meme that I saw was that you shouldn't like, you can't advance yourself by tearing down someone else.
Yeah. I mean,
in a way.
Yeah. Oh no, I completely agree with that. I mean, I guess it's like, you know, I understand people wanting profit. I do. And there's plenty of places to make money in this world. We know it.
Yeah.
And some of them are really, really stupid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, some guy, you know, we talk about it, people have been talking about this stuff for generations. Some guy made in the 70s, made millions of dollars selling a pet rock. He took a rock, he put it in a box, made the box look funny, put it in Spencer Gifts, and sold millions of the damn things.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? More power to him. If you can convince people to give you 10 bucks for a fucking rock, dude, you deserve the 10 bucks.
That's 100%.
But if you're going to take somebody who's got a disease and tell them, I can't give you these meds if you can't pay for them, that's problematic as far as I'm concerned.
100%. That you can't. That those are not the kind of things that should be played with. Like people's health, people's well being. Like this is. But then again, that gets back to the point to where the people who are in charge of these things and making prices for things like this do not see the people as people. They see them as numbers on a spreadsheet. And that is just so I believe that that's the case. And until people are viewing other people as actual people instead of just numbers, then this is going to be an issue. And I don't like the thought of
you're
that.
A person to me, not a number.
You are a person to me and not a number.
All right.
We've got about an hour and a half of them.
Yeah, I think we've destroyed enough of the world for one day. Go see live music. Pay for it. Don't be a dick. That's all I got.
Go see live music. Pay for it. Don't be a dick. What was in the very beginning, what did we say we were going to call this episode?
We had a few of them. The stuff nobody else will tell you episode.
The stuff nobody else will tell you. There you go.
Do jackasses rambling on for 92 minutes? I don't.
Enrich your soul, not your pocket.
Exactly.
Money is a tool,
not a goal. That is true.
Oh, Carrie Creco Harris with the wisdom there.
Wisdom straight out of a bottle of Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Now available
in your local liquor store. If it is not available in your local liquor store, ask them for it, and they will get it.
Or go to another local liquor store.
Yeah, or go to another one and say, first off, if you ask for Screwball Whiskey and they say no, then you are to punch this person
shut up
directly in the face. First, that's your first move. Oh, and then man. You walk out of that store and you take your arm and you pull a whole shelf of vodka down with you as you leave and on your way to your next liquor store. And just keep doing that until you find it. That's the trick.
And then when you need bail, just give Kelsey
tomorrow's stories begin right here. Screwball Whiskey.
Wherever. Each moment is colored by the previous moment. If you pull all the vodka off the shelf and then the next moment you're in the police car, you'll know that the previous moment caused the next moment.
I'm saying, well, you know what? It's their fault. They didn't have the whiskey I wanted. 11% of the military budget could fund enough renewable energy for every home in the U.S.
All right, let's go for 12% and get some health care, too.
Boom.
All right.
All right. Then where are you? All right, guys. Brother Scott, man, I appreciate you being here, and always a pleasure. I'm glad to have you in the studio. Finally.
I'm glad you have been in the studio. This has been a lovely experience, and, you know.
This is very good. And now that there's that cool little background music there playing for you that you audio folks will get to hear. By the way, if you only exclusively watch on YouTube and you want to hear a cleaner version of all of this nonsense that we do, I invite you to listen to audio every now and again. I do a little bit of extra work on that than I do on the videos just because I like the videos to be behind the scenes.
Oh, so you mean cleaner in the sense of less all over the place, not like...
No.
Not censored.
The content is the content is unedited. The content is unedited, but there's the outro and intro stuff is it's polished. It's polished. There's an intro where I do all of my spiel in which I'll go. All right. So in this episode, blah 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 blah. But anyway, just in case podcast listeners do skip past this in the beginning, I invite you to go to mistuffpodcast.com. And I haven't updated in a few days, so forgive me on that. But all of the links to anywhere where social media and things like that are on mistuffpodcast.com. Please go to Apple Podcasts, Podomatic, anywhere podcasts are available, wherever you get podcasts, MI Stuff Podcast, subscribe, review, and so that way until I get more rates and more reviews, I won't be able to get specific stats. And just because I'm a nerd, I like to get stats. So, it's not that important, but if you wouldn't mind, it doesn't take too long. Please do that. At MI Stuff Podcast on Twitter, at MI Stuff Podcast all over Instagram, or all over Instagram, all over social media, all of the things. Kelsey Hudgens, if you want to follow me on Facebook or anywhere else, Yonder Wizard on Instagram. Scott Mann, all over everywhere else. Everywhere is Scott Mann with two N's.
Everywhere
is Scott Mann, right? Is all of your social media presence. Scott Mann Facebook. With two N's.
I'm on Facebook.
And, yeah, well, there you
there,
go
on Facebook. I've got an Instagram account. I accidentally created an Instagram account once by clicking a button on Facebook, and now I, have all these followers on Instagram, and I've never posted anything ever.
Dude, you are what everybody on Instagram wants. No, the guy who has zero content that has all the followers.
It just you know what? Share me.
Yeah.
You know, if you see something on Facebook and you think it should be on Instagram, put it there. I don't know how. And I just don't care.
Don't worry.
I'm actually trying to reduce my Facebook usage.
Oh, yeah.
It's I want to use it because I want everybody to know where all the live music is. If you follow me on Facebook, you will be informed of things you probably should know. And every once in a while, I'll say something to hopefully make you feel good or laugh. Otherwise, there's just nothing else there. I'm just done. I don't even comment on people's shit anymore. You know, it's like,
yeah, it's not worth it.
It's just... I just can't do it.
I'll do it every now and again if I want to poke fun at somebody, but I just like to do that if I want to just poke the bear a little bit every now and again.
Well, you know what I do? It's like when somebody I really, you know, give a shit about talks about something on Facebook and I have something to say, I'll private message the commenter.
Yeah.
Because I don't care what your friends think.
Right.
I'm
talking to you. That's right. That's fine. I limit myself on my Facebook. I'll do it like in the morning and at night. Usually in the middle of the day, I don't do a lot of, I'm doing my other thing.
You're sleeping.
Well, no, really, man. Everybody, all of my friends.
Because you're out taking your live video walks at 3 o'clock in the morning at Garden City Pier and shit like that.
So, all of my friends sleep more than I do. I just do it at a different time so it doesn't look like I do.
I didn't say you were.
No.
That's at 7 o'clock the night before.
I know, that's what I said. But I don't know. Sleep is overrated. I like to stay awake as long as I can and then sleep as long as I can.
All right.
So, yes, please do all that. Screwballwhiskey.com, SKREWBallWhiskey.com. Tomorrow's stories begin right here. Screwball Whiskey. Be good people. In a world full of shitty people, don't be one of those people. Be a good person. It's not that fucking hard.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. All right, audio folks, enjoy your day and be good people. Peace, bitches.